Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. We are your hosts, Tywana Wilson, Mona Small, and Stephanie Whitehead. And we're so excited for another opportunity to talk to you today about all things laboratory inside and outside the lab. We really love giving all this information to our listeners, and we've got a great show prepared for you today. For those of you tuning in for the first time, our podcast, the eLaborate Topics podcast, is a weekly show where myself and my co-hosts bring you topics related to the laboratory and leadership to help you excel inside and outside of your profession. So let's get right into it, because we've got some great information for you today. Before I get too far into it, be sure to like and share this episode and join us on our eLaborate Topics group on LinkedIn and follow each of us on our social media. So today, we're going to be talking about two verbs that are closely related but often confused. Today, we're going to be talking about the difference between mentoring and coaching. So when you think about those two words, you may be in your profession, you may be in your department and thinking, do I need a coach or do I need a mentor? Or if you're, you know, feeling like you want to do more with yourself and you want to reach out behind above yourself and help somebody out, and you think, do I want to coach somebody or do I have better skills to mentor somebody? Because the two are very different. And today we want to, in this episode, give you a fairly straightforward comparison of the two and how to use each of them to drive the results you want to see, not just in your own career, but in your team. If you're a frontline leader of your laboratory, or if you're a director or a manager, or just a student going into the field, it's helpful to have this information on what is mentoring, what is coaching, and when to use the two. It's important to know the difference, because the objectives and the outcome for mentoring versus the objective and the outcomes for coaching are very different, and we want to make sure we use the right strategy at the right time, like I said, to get the results that we want. So, like I mentioned, we want to try to give you a fairly straightforward comparison as we get into these definitions. The two are very similar. That's why they get confused sometimes, because they have a lot in common. So both aim at supporting an individual in achieving a specific goal, and both utilize soft skills from either the coach or the mentor to help the individual that they're assisting or that they're working with. So your coach and your mentor will be using skills like emotional intelligence, active listening, empathy, as they support the person that they are coaching or mentoring to their goal of success. You can think of both as product development, but you are the product. They're trying to make you better with the end goal that you have in mind. Now, what's the difference between the two? Well, with mentoring, you can think of mentoring a little bit like a helicopter or a hoverer. Your mentor will be right there to support and guide you, but they won't be holding your hand. Mentoring is usually driven by the mentee, and usually it's volunteerism, really. It's an act of goodwill by the person mentoring to help the mentee. This is usually not forced, so the mentee will seek out an individual in the same field or a desired field to get advice. So oftentimes I'll have people DM me in my social media and say, hey, you know, I've been looking at your profile, or I've seen some things that you've posted, and I wonder if you can mentor me on X, Y, and Z. And as I talk to the person and as we try to, you know, see where they want to go, they may need mentoring on career advice, management, really solidifying their resume, things that I have been perceived to be good at from viewing me on social media, and they want to link up with me to improve on those things. But they reached out to me, right? So it's volunteerism on both ends to engage in this relationship. Like I said, usually the mentee seeks out the mentor, and It's usually there's no personal agenda. Like I said, you know, neither one of them have a personal agenda. It's kind of fluid, always a choice. The mentor does have to be willing to mentor the mentee, though, and you know we can confuse those words. But in most laboratories, you want to make sure that you have that culture in your department that supports mentorship. That helps your new technologists that are coming in straight out of school have the tools that they need from their more experienced technologists to succeed, or it just helps new technologists that are experienced but they're new to your laboratory, and they can get mentorship from a person who has that tribal knowledge in your department and understands how your laboratory runs. This can be long-term or short-term, but it's a partnership. You know, it's a two-way street, and oftentimes it's confidential. You don't typically feel forced to share what you are doing with your mentor or mentee. Now, while mentoring is based on goodwill, coaching, on the other hand, is usually initiated by a leader to help somebody improve on an area that your leader considers as a weakness. So while mentorship is usually driven by the mentee, coaching is more hands-on, and it's driven by the coach. If you just think about sports, you got the coach, you know, really leading what the players are doing in any game. Coaching is often related to training. So if you think about coaching and competency and training, it's more about problem solving. The objective is to resolve or improve a necessary skill you need for your job duties. So once I get on the bench, if my leader feels like my turnaround times are not fast enough, he may put me with a technologist who does have fast turnaround times, and the goal is to improve my turnaround times. This person is working with me, trying to understand what is my workflow process and where can I make improvements in what I'm doing on the bench so I, too, can have fast turnaround times. Once I achieve fast turnaround times, typically the coaching is finished. If I don't achieve fast turnaround times, sometimes that can go further down, you know, maybe more punitive measures depending on how your leader wants to take that. So it should be short term, and it should be focused on ensuring you reach a necessary job skill or level in your performance that is required for you. And the plan is really towards success. It should be short term, like I said, more about your performance and task oriented. So your coach does have a personal agenda, whereas your mentor does not have a personal agenda. I found a good quote that helped really solidify the difference between the two. It was from an unknown author, but the quote says, "A coach has great questions for your answers, while a mentor has great answers for your questions." So very deep quote, but hopefully that helps drive the contrast and comparison of the two. So as we go more into this episode and we dive deeper into these two concepts of mentoring versus coaching, Taiwana is going to give us some fundamental thoughts to consider when we enter into the practice of mentoring, and Lona is going to dive deeper into the fundamentals of coaching. So ladies, take it away.
Awesome. Well, you did a great job, Stephanie, of being able to lay the foundation. And you're right, there are fundamental differences between mentoring and coaching, but sometimes they are used interchangeably in our workplaces. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about mentoring. And this is something that we have covered on this podcast early on, talking about different mentorship models. So if you want a deeper understanding or thought behind mentoring, then you can go back to that earlier podcast. But one of the things that I like to always start by talking about mentoring is really that definition of mentoring. So the dictionary has a definition, and then there's like a leader's definition. So the dictionary version is the guidance provided by a mentor, especially an experienced person in a company or educational institution. To me, that's a little bit generic. So I like more of the leader's definition that I read out of one of John C. Maxwell's books, and it talks about the empowerment provided by a leader that includes giving your influence to others with the purpose of investing in their lives so that they can reach the highest levels in their personal and organizational growth. And when I think about mentorship, it is really about the relationship, especially those mentoring relationships that really work well have been because the relationship really worked well. And so we learn best from mentoring by observing successful and unsuccessful models. And this happens because we're able to learn faster and more effectively from people that we respect and trust, which is all about relationships. If you respect somebody and trust somebody, you are more than likely going to apply the information that they are able to give you. And so I want to talk a little bit about some of the essential skills and behaviors that's kind of needed from the mentee and mentor perspective, especially as we think about that in the workplace. But from the mentee perspective, some of the essential skills that's needed for a great mentoring relationship is the ability to learn quickly. Your mentor is going to be sharing a lot of information with you from their personal experience, which is a difference of coaching. Mentors share a lot of personal experience. This is what I have done. This is my experience. And so with them sharing that information, the mentee having that ability to learn quickly, asking those right questions, following through with the information that's been shared with them, being able to take action, taking and accepting responsibility for the relationship. As Stephanie mentioned, the mentee typically solicits a mentor of their choice, a person they feel comfortable with. So being able to accept responsibility for the relationship and the outcome. Taking initiative. You know, people are busy. I don't know how many times, you know, that we can say that, but people are busy, and being mindful of somebody's time. So taking that initiative to schedule time to meet with your mentor, you know, what is it that you want to accomplish? And like we said before, having an active role in a mentor of your choice in that mentor selection. Because there are some opportunities that mentors, mentees are paired, and it's not the selection of the mentee. But most times, the mentee does select their mentor. And then there's some essential behaviors for the mentor. The mentor need to be inspiring. The reason why people are reaching out to Stephanie on social media is because she's providing content and value that they are interested in, that makes them motivated, that, you know, she's inspiring them. They're like, well, if she has this information and this wealth of knowledge, I want it too. And I want to be connected with her. So she is inspiring people near and far. The mentor has to be able to have those difficult conversations and constructive feedback. Being a mentor is a big role. And mentees, I'll tell you, don't be discouraged if somebody does not want to be your mentor. And sometimes it's not a good fit. Sometimes they are not sure if they can provide you with the value that you need, and sometimes they don't have time. And so instead of committing to something, then they will, you know, they will opt out. And so as a mentor, you got to be able to have these difficult conversations, or if you know that you and your mentee have set up a plan, an action plan or things your mentee want to do, but your mentee is not following through, you as a mentor have to be able to have the difficult conversations to be able to let them know, or if they are not being professional. The ability to train and provide detailed instruction. So sometimes in a work environment, we may like to pair a seasoned being somebody that has many years of experience with maybe a newer tech, somebody right out of school. And as a mentoring relationship between the two. But you got to have that ability to be able to train and provide that instruction to your mentee. And then the mentor again, it's that relationship helps the mentee mitigate some career risk or some novice mistakes. So Stephanie, Lona, and I have all been laboratorians for nearly 20 years, and we have seen some mistakes that have happened. We have made some mistakes over the years, and our role as mentors and when we are working with our mentees is helping our mentees who may be less experienced mitigate some of those risks. You know, jumping from job to job and it doesn't make sense. Like, why are you doing that? What is the intent of that? So helping to be able to help them not make some of the novice mistakes. And then there's some essential skills and tools needed from both parties of being able to contribute clear and concise goals, you know, for that relationship. Being able to trust one another. Because think about it, if you don't trust somebody, you're not going to act on information that's shared from them. Being able to practice proactive listening is an essential skill that's going to be needed, whether you're a mentee or a mentor. And then having that positive attitude is going to be something that's going to be very necessary for both. And so the mentee definitely benefits from having a mentor. They're able to ask the questions and get the answers that they are seeking. They are able to reach out and shorten their learning curve. They're able to get that professional guidance that they need from somebody that they trust. And mentors tend to leverage their information, their access, and their influence for their mentee. Dependent on the relationship. Not all, but a lot of times you will see that in a mentee-mentor relationship. And if you are a mentor or want to be a mentor, here are some things that I would challenge you to be able to answer and be able to say yes to, and then Lona will talk about the differences of coaching. And if you are a mentor or desire to be, if you are not able to say yes to some of these questions, then maybe think about if this is the right opportunity for you to be mentoring somebody else. So you have a heart and willingness to add value to the lives of others. Can you say yes? I have the time to be able to commit and engage in mentorship. I understand the role of a mentor and have clear expectations of what it is and what it isn't. I have positioned myself to be asked to be a mentor in a formal or informal mentoring relationship. I have an open mind. I feel comfortable giving constructive feedback in a respectful way. I promise to be an active listener. And as a mentor, this is critical. I continue to learn and develop myself so that I can share that expertise with others. And so those are the things that I would suggest our listeners who are mentees or mentors, because at some point, if you are a mentee, you will be a mentor. And those are some of the fundamentals that I can offer with the time that we have today. So Lona, can you tell us a little bit about the coaching side, because I know you do a lot of work in this space?
Yes, Taiwan and Stephanie, I think you did a great job at Stephanie differentiating mentorship from coaching, and Stephanie going into talking about mentors, usually use their experience to help others to navigate through whatever goals that they're setting so that they probably avoid a lot of the mistakes that they made and reduce some of the time that they took to get to where they want to go. And coaching being different from mentorship, and the way I differentiate coaching and mentorship is that a mentor, like Taiwana says, use their own experience and they'll sometimes kind of tell the mentee like what to do to avoid some of the mistakes. So I see a mentor just telling and using their own experience. So the mentee sometimes would follow some of the same path that a mentor has already taken. Whereas in coaching, you're there as a guide. You're not there to tell people exactly how to get to their objective. And there are two different groups of coaching, and I know Stephanie talked a little bit about coaching for development. So they're coaching for performance and coaching for development. Stephanie spoke about coaching for performance, and that's usually in the workplace where you identify an area in which someone is not doing well, and you want to help them to maybe improve on some of their competences. So say, for instance, someone is maybe a younger person who can't manage their time. If it's like really busy and, you know, they can't manage the time with multitasking, you could put them in coaching for performance to help them with specific goals to get to where they want to go. Say there's someone that's on the phone and they're not speaking to either nurses or provider in a way that is good reflection on the lab when it comes to like customer service. You could coach them in a way to get to that better customer service. And that Stephanie talked about, those are really short-term goals when it comes to coaching. But a coach is usually a guide. And in coaching, you're working with that person to help them to figure out the how. How do I get there? So as a coach, you are asking very good questions, as Taiwana said. So it's so important as a coach to ask really good questions and allow the coachee to figure things out on their own. And a lot of times in coaching, when people figure out things that work best for them in order to get to those objectives, that's usually very effective. So, you know, as I said, you know, the coachee is actually making those decisions about either their personal or professional goals. They're making those decisions and they're guided by the coach. The coach usually challenges the coachee to reach those high goals, like let them know that they can do it, really challenge them to get there, and they're usually a cheerleader when they reach those goals, when they reach those milestones, and they're usually there to encourage and to empower. So Stephanie said something about coaching and training, and I know it's not just mentorship and coaching that gets confused, but coaching and training also gets confused. So like in training, you know, we're in the lab, you're getting step by step, you know, you're given a guide, a step by step what to do, and you're being trained and you're being monitored. Whereas in coaching, you're just being guided, and you're the one making the decisions on the how. With training, you're given the how, and you're told to do the how. So you're basically told to do exactly what to do, whereas in coaching, you're guided. So that's kind of the difference for coaching and training, because that also comes up, and I know Stephanie also brought that up. So, you know, there's mentorship, there's coaching, and there's training. So basically with coaching for performance happens a lot in the lab where there's a supervisor or a superior that's actually working with a subordinate to help them to improve these competences. Whereas coaching for development is a more long-term coaching. And I do a lot of coaching for development. So with coaching for development, that's usually people who identify certain either personal goals or develop professional goals that they want to reach, and even those coaches can reach out to a coach to say, can you help me with these things? Can you help me to develop to get to where I want to go professionally or personally? And, you know, for me, I'm so involved in coaching for coaching for development. And I started out being a trainer where I decided I'm going to train people in patient safety. I'm going to train our medical lab professionals in process improvement and quality management. And then I started to tell my story of how challenging it was and how I actually got there. And then I started to get people requesting, coming to me and said, can you coach me to figure out what is it that I'm good at so I can reach my highest potential in the area of, you know, finding a new skill to grow as a medical lab professional. And then I started coaching. So with coaching, I was able to guide people to able to figure out what is it that I'm really good at, what is it that I can identify with, so I can either get training later on in those areas. So with coaching, you're guiding people to figure out things for themselves. So I'm able to coach people right now to identify those things that they are passionate about, the things that they want to do, and then they can get training in those areas. So you guide someone to think through different scenarios, and then they decide on the steps that they will take. Then you're really asking great questions, because in order for people to figure things out, you as a coach have to ask really great questions. So you allow the coaches to think through these answers, and they get like a new perspective or new ideas for themselves. And then you work with them to set these different milestones. So because coaching for development is long-term, you could have a 12-week period, you could have a 6-month period. So you set these different milestones and try to achieve them. So you're working with your coachee, and you hold the coachee accountable. So as a coach, you're always holding your coachee accountable to achieve these things that they set as their personal goals, to achieve these milestones. And then you monitor. You're monitoring them for success as a coach. So you're a little bit hands-on off as a coach when it comes to coaching for development, and you're working with your client, and you provide them maybe with tools, but you're not actually either, you're not training, and you're not giving them the answer. They're developing the answer, and you celebrate success with your coachee. So, you know, I know this is complex, but just remember there's two forms of coaching. Coaching for performance, which is very short-term, that happens a lot in the workplace, where you can set short-term goals to get certain competences, certain skills, and then there's coaching for development that may be more long-term, that a coachee may identify different areas in which they want to develop. And they work with a coach that will guide them through that. So, Taiwan or Stephanie, anything you want to add to coaching?
I think you did an awesome job with that, Lona. Yes, you are right in that there is the coaching for development versus coaching for performance. And I know a lot of times in the workplace, at least in my scope of the world and in my labs, when the team hears coaching, they always think of it in a not-so-positive way. So that's that whole performance coaching, thinking about it as in a negative way. But if you have exposure to coaching outside of the lab or as you reach higher levels of authority outside of the inside and outside of the lab, you realize that at some point in your career, you probably need both mentoring and coaching for development. I know in a lot of the hospitals, once you get to a certain level, some director levels, but definitely VP level and above, they have it where their employees have an executive coach so that they're able to give them the tools that they need to be successful in their role at that level. And I can say for me, I've had mentors, I've had coaches. Most recently, I've had a speaking coach. And I had several speaking coaches and that is the thing, it's targeted. It's just for that one thing. So, like mentorship, they could help you with a variety of things. It could be how to be professional in the environment, how to get my resume together, how to get on LinkedIn, how to network. It could be a variety of things based off of the person's experience. But with coaching, you typically are going with a coach that has a specific skill set or target. And so as for me, with having the speaking coaches, it was for that reason. I want to be able to create more effective and engaging presentations. I want to be able to navigate the online virtual space, especially as we dealt with the pandemic. I want to be able to turn my speaking into multiple streams of income to be able to get my word out. I want to be able to be a better speaker, to be able to utilize that to leverage my business. And so in that speaking coaching agreement may be short or long term. So in that case, with my last speaking coach, it was, an 8-week kind of a program. And so I am telling the listeners this to say that at times of your career, and depending on where you are in your career, you probably will need a combination of mentorship, coaching, accountability partners, in order to really advance in your career. So, and you might hear people that are coaching that are also incorporating some elements of mentoring as well, but that just depends. But those are my thoughts about it. But I think changing the dynamics, especially for lab people, when they hear coaching, there's something about when they hear coaching, when they hear mentoring is like, yes, I need that, yes. But when they hear coaching, it's like, yeah, I don't need that. And I think it's just because they are used to that dynamic of coaching for performance and not the coaching for development. So thank you, Lona and Stephanie, both, for really giving some clarification around those.
I agree. And like we said in the beginning, as you get further in your career, and if you're a leader in your department or if you're just a person who wants to create that momentum to move your career forward and to strengthen some of the weaknesses you may think you have, like Tawana said, she got a coach to help her with some of her presentations. It's really important that you understand, what are the differences. And when people come to you seeking assistance, what are their skills, what are the objectives you need to draw from so you can create the outcomes that you want. And so the three are very intricate terms, coaching, mentoring, and then adding in training. I think we could, talk about this and elaborate on all three of these and break these down even further for many more episodes. But I think hopefully we've given you just an initial tidbit of difference between the three. If you have any questions, we are all three mentors, so reach out to all of us on social media and we can continue the conversation. We love to hear if your mentors out there, some of the strategies you're using, or if you're doing any coaching strategies you're using, or if you're doing any training. People learn in different ways. People have different types of learning styles, so we know we have a lot of people out there who are experts in lab education and competency development that are doing some amazing training out there with our new technologies, either on the bench or in our CLS programs. And so how are you working your training models? But I think that's it for today, ladies.
I think so. So thank you, listener audience, for tuning in to this episode of Elaborate Topics, where we gave you a snippet, a high level of mentoring, coaching, and we even threw in a little bit of training in there for you. So thank you for tuning in. Please share this episode out with anybody that you feel could benefit from listening to this topic. So those in your lab, friends of the lab, family members as well. You can check out previous episodes on directimpactbroadcasting.com as well as your favorite podcast platform. If you're interested in being a guest on this show, you can send us an email at elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com, or you can actually just go right out to the Direct Impact Broadcasting website, go up under the contact link, and there is a link that says guest on Elaborate Topics, and you can fill in your interest. So thank you so much for tuning in. One call to action that we would like to leave you with in regards to mentoring and coaching is that figure out what is best for you at this time in your career. Do you need a mentor? Do you need a coach or both? And if you are not in need of one, are you positioned to be a mentor? I'm not going to say coach because coaching requires some special training. So are you positioned to be a mentor or trainer at this time? So take an inventory of where you are and look and see if you are positioned to be a mentor or if you are under the benefits or under mentorship and coaching. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have an awesome day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.